City of Daly City.
Mike Ngona.
City of East Palo Alto. City of Foster City.
Gary Pollard.
City of Half Moon Bay. Town of Hillsborough.
Lawrence May.
City of Menlo Park. City of Millbrae.
Wayne Lee.
City of Pacifica.
John Keener.
Town of Portola Valley. City of Redwood City. City of San Bruno.
Marty Medina.
City of San Carlos. City of San Mateo.
Rick Bonilla.
City of South San Francisco.
Betty Vodka.
Town of Woodside. Thank you.
Okay, so we have 13 members by my count. And council, we need 12 for a quorum?
Correct.
All right. Let's begin with public comment on matters not on the agenda. I believe Diane Bailey, would you like to speak?
Good evening, Diane Bailey with Menlo Spark. I wanted to come back to the issue of setting a goal around carbon-free power for PCE. This is something that was discussed in one of the June board meetings, and I know there was interest in a statement from this board to the effect of, yes, we should agendize this issue as a goal. And so I just wanted to remind folks that we would love to see this issue agendized quickly before we start to deliver power in the fall so that we can describe the program as having this goal of 100% carbon-free power, if that is the decision of the board. And one really important development I want to highlight since June is that last month, the Silicon Valley CC partnership decided that they were going to issue a base offering that is 100% carbon free. And, you know, I think PCE's base offering of 75% carbon free, as I've noted before, is a great step. And we're hoping to have a little bit of friendly competition among the different CCEs. Who can be cleanest? And there's room for PCE to be cleanest. And so I just want to encourage you again to please consider setting a goal for 100% carbon free power. At least please agendize the discussion so that we can talk about it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your comment. And we will agendize that. Jan and I were talking about that just this week. So we will figure out the appropriate date. And we want to get that discussion agendized and make those statements as the board directs. Okay, so now I'd like to take a motion to set the agenda and approve the consent items.
Second.
Okay, motion by Mr. Lee and seconded by Mr. Bonilla. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Supervisor Pine, I need to abstain on the approval of the minutes from the last meeting as I was not present at that meeting on behalf of the county.
Okay, we'll note that in the record. All right, so in terms of the schedule here, we have two closed session items that we do need to take action on. And then our regular agenda, I believe, is all discussion items. I want to make sure that my preference would be to do the regular agenda first so we don't have to kick the audience out right now. But on the other hand, I don't want to lose the quorum. And I know, Mr. Larry, you're going to leave in a... So it probably to be on the safe side, and I apologize to our guests, but I think we should go ahead and meet in closed session. We'd have to ask everyone to just step out for 15 minutes or so, and then we'll let you know when we're wrapped up, and we'll report out.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll convene in closed session in just a minute or two.
Okay. it's not. Is it? It's not recording inside. Is it? It's not. Not brought back inside. Yeah. That's happened before.
Gotta be careful what we say.
Is Daly City here? Oh yeah, it happened in Daly City once.
Did Rick? Rick, you just joined us. Oh, okay. So we probably, maybe we're a little safer on the quorum.
One over.
But none the event, let's go ahead and consider the two items. Commercials are killer. All right, we're going to reconvene.
Yeah, sure.
Reconvene the meeting now in open session. So let's first have a report out about the closed session items. So,
yes,
Mr. Silverman.
The board considered two items in closed session. It approved performance objectives for the CEO on a unanimous vote. It also authorized the CEO to execute a lease consistent with the closed session listing, specifically a 36-month lease with Lex Machina at a for a 36-month term beginning September 1st, 2016, on a unanimous vote.
Okay, thank you. I do not have a chair report this evening, so why don't we just go right to Jan for her updates.
All right, thank you. See, first of all, I just wanted to report that a couple days ago I attended a meeting of the San Mateo County Economic Development Association, SAMCETA. Mm-hmm. The Public Policy Committee, and that was a good group to meet, and I think they can be very, very helpful for us in reaching out to the business community. Also, I wanted to suggest, and I think there'll probably be a lot of protest to this, that we possibly cancel the August 25th board meeting. We don't have anything urgent on for our agenda that night, so I know everyone likes coming to the meetings, but if that's okay, we'll probably cancel that meeting.
And we expect full attendance since it's the first meeting in September. Full attendance at the September meeting.
Yes. Okay. So if we can have the first slide. Oh, do I have this? Do I just go like this? Okay. So we just wanted to report on our municipal accounts and those that have confirmed to opt up to ECO 100. So we have six cities that are going up to ECO 100 for their municipal accounts. We thank you very much. Brisbane, Millbrae, Portola Valley, Redwood City, Woodside, and Menlo Park. And there are five other cities that are in the four other cities in the county that are expressing interest and still considering this. So we're very excited about that. And if your name isn't up here, then, and you want to surprise us.
I just took a photo to show to our city manager.
All right. We need to leave this up tomorrow. Longer for everyone to take a picture of this? Okay. We can also send you the slide. our call center has been up for a few weeks. And these are the cumulative totals of opt-outs, opt-ups, and early adopters. So we dropped about 70,000 pieces of mail for our first enrollment notice. And so far we have 257 opt-outs. So I think that's really great. Very low number there. Of course, as we keep informing people, that may go up. The ECO 100, the number of people upgrading to that is 75, although that's not
bigger.
What's on the graph here.
185.
I don't see that on this. Oh, okay. 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 All right. 185 have upgraded to ECO 100, and 87. We have a total of 100
Well, let's see. The ECO plus early adopters are 87, and actually the ECO 100 early adopters are 110. So that ECO 100 upgrade includes people who are part of this enrollment as well as the early adopters.
Yes?
Does this include folks that have registered online and haven't interacted with the call center?
Yes. And actually, interestingly, yeah. So we've had a total of 439 calls into the call center. But most of the early adopters have done that through our website. 184 of them have done it through the website. The upgrades to ECO 100, again, the vast majority have done it through the website. The opt-outs, about 70 have done it over the phone, 116 through the automated phone process, the IVR, and 72 through the website. So it seems like people who are opting out are more likely to call in to do it, whereas those who are upgrading or becoming early adopters are doing it through the website. And this shows the calls to date, which shows, I'm not sure what the red represents, because there's no label that goes with that. Something happened to our slide here. So it just shows, again, the red is the opt-outs, the blue is just calling for general information, then you can see a small number are calling to be early adopters or are opting up. And again, here's the call statistics. So of the calls coming in, the IVR is just the automated call. When you call in, you push a button to do this or that. So the most of the people are just using that, and 161 have gone to the agents. For those who have requested to ask for an agent, the average time to get to that agent is 31 seconds, and but 81% of them have been answered within 20 seconds.
Right, we have a question.
Jan, I'm sorry, just back on the other. Is this provided by the call center to you daily, monthly, weekly? What's the reporting?
I think this is the first time we've gotten this information. I haven't seen it before, but our contract does require that they report this to us regularly.
You can access it daily, but they give us a summary weekly.
Okay.
So weekly there's...
We can compile it daily because we have access to it every hour, but weekly they give us some summary like that.
Okay.
And for those 257 people who have opted out, this is the breakdown of their reasons. So a number of them dislike the auto enrollment. The next largest group is they dislike having a government-run organization. And then some have rate concerns and some have service or billing concerns. And then other reasons, they don't like change, they like PG&E, or they're a PG&E employee, because actually PG&E employees get a 25% discount on their electric bill. So there's a incentive for them to stay with their employer, and also others that may have NEM or solar concerns. Oh, okay. So Noble has worked with all of the CCEs so far, and we have the highest early adopter enrollment that they've seen so far. So,
but that early adopter number, which it sounds like it's like 150, because you had it in two columns. I mean, it's still a pretty small number, right?
The early adopters been 197.
All in, okay.
Yeah. And if any of you here haven't, if you didn't get the letter, you know, just go on the website, and up in the upper right-hand corner, you click on early adopter, and it's very easy to do. And it's also easy to opt up to an ECO 100. Okay. So this is pretty much highlights of what I have to talk about. Well, later we'll talk about marketing and outreach. Oh, I guess I'm talking about, is Kirsten here? Okay, I guess I will do marketing and outreach since she's not back yet, unless you have any other questions.
Yeah, hey, Joe.
Okay, so what's the percentage of opt-out compared to all the letters you sent out? I mean, are you under 10%, 15%?
It's 257 divided by 70,000.
So let's figure
pretty small.
Yeah.
Can you do that, David?
It's pretty big.
I can.
Please.
It's small.
De minimis.
That's a good reportable number at a council meeting.
Yeah, it is 0.36%.
So not less than 1%.
But they're
less than half a
less
percent.
Than half a percent.
A third of 1%.
Third of 1%. 36 basis points.
36 basis points. Exactly. Yes.
And we do have two more notices pre-launch.
Yes.
And then we have two after that.
Yes.
And what was our goal? To be under 10?
Well, our financial models all assume 15.
15, yeah.
And more recent recent launches have been 10 or better, as I understand it.
Go get them.
So,
yeah, nice job.
One more question.
Yes, go ahead.
Down the road, can we get the number of people that opted out in our cities?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, that'd be great.
They're all in yours.
Yeah, because we know you're going to go knock on their door, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so we'll go ahead and talk about marketing and outreach. The first advocates training is going to be this Saturday at the San Mateo Library. And we haven't had a whole lot of signups for this. The staff here has put in a ton of work to make this a really good training session. So if you could maybe ask your staff in your cities to send out a next door announcement or, you know, a blast to the citizens in your communities to remind them of this, either to come on Saturday or the second workshop on August 23rd, we would love to have them there. The presentations that have been going on in the last couple of weeks, the North Fair Oaks Community Council, the Pacifica Community Workshop, the Town of Hillsboro Council, and the Redwood Shores Community Association. Actually, that's where Kirsten is tonight, which is why she's not here. And upcoming, we have a Daly City Community Workshop, San Mateo Community Employees Community Workshop, and the Daly City Retired Employees. And we're also working with staff in Foster City and Menlo Park to plan community workshops with them. So the second enrollment.
Before you move on, Jen, I just had a comment. I attended the Hillsboro Council update, and you know, I think it was very valuable for the four members of the board of the council, you know, other than Larry, who, you know, it's hard for them to track this. So I guess there's a question for board members here is, you know, the thought crossed my mind that maybe we ought to just go ahead and do updates at the other council meetings to those who would like one. Because again, I think it was somewhat eye-opening for the Hillsboro council members other than Larry just to hear about, you know, we've moved the launch date up, we have these names for the products, or we got enrollment notices out. I mean, there's a lot to talk about that, you know, last time this was all on paper, and now it's, you know, we have a CEO, we have an office, a lot to talk about. So it would obviously is yet another demand on everyone's time, but, you know, those are key stakeholders.
What Dave said. It was great.
So would people find that valuable for their colleagues?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's obviously optional, but I think we should do if we have the bandwidth.
Okay.
Dave, what I have been doing is that we have at the end of the beginning of the council meetings, comments from the council members. And I basically summarize whatever we do at the board here.
Oh, good.
You know, just in real time, so it doesn't pile up. It just kind of
Attending your meetings, I've noticed you guys are very good about updating each other.
I'm doing it every council.
Oh, good.
Meeting, whatever
okay.
updates. So I talked about, I signed up early and I encouraged my fellow colleagues to do the same. So we're giving up.
Right. So it may, so perhaps, you know, it's maybe not necessary in South City, or if you don't think it's necessary, of course. I think we'd be happy to do it if people would like.
Yeah. I think if it's an option that we can call in on, great.
Yeah. Yeah. No requirement.
Yeah. So if you want to just let us know. I saw when San Mateo, Rick nodded his head yes, so we'll follow up with you. If there's any others of you who would like us to come or you want to think about it, then just let us know. Okay. So our second enrollment notice is going out soon. About half of these are going to be mailed out approximately August 15th or so, and the rest of them will go out towards the end of the month. And this is one side of the notice. It's actually a trifold brochure. So it's.
Do we have it? It's cool.
Yeah, we don't have an actual one for you to look at today. They're in the process of being printed, and we didn't have one to bring. So we're just showing you what it looks like, and then our next board meeting, we will bring it to you. Or actually, we'll send them a copy to all of the cities once it goes in the mail so that you know what's going out to your constituents. So this is one side, and this is the other side. This is the English version, and we also have a Chinese, a version that's English-Chinese, and a version that's English-Spanish. And rather than three panels on those versions, it's five panels, because one side is the English, and one side is the Spanish or Chinese. We're also in the process of putting together a letter for the net energy metering customers, and that letter will be going out at the end of August to those folks who are who have their true ups in September and October. I think we talked about that here before. So we're sending a letter similar. It'll look the same as the letter that went out in our first enrollment notice. And that one is going to go out just in English. We will have a box on the letter indicating where someone can get more information in either Spanish or Chinese.
So I have a friend in San Mateo who has rooftop solar, net energy metering through PG&E. And she called and was given information about the true updates and so forth. And we were talking, she called me and she says, actually, I don't care about whatever PG&E might owe me. I'd rather just change over, yeah. Right, and start with PCE as soon as possible. Can yeah. they do that?
Yes. Anyone is welcome to be an early adopter. So if she'd like to sign up, then just have her click the early adopter, and
right.
we'll gladly take her.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have some metrics from our ad campaign, which we've started doing a lot more recently. So on the website, which got updated on July 18th, these are the metrics for the visits to the website. So there were, you can see how many views, mostly English, but a fairly significant percentage in Spanish. And the visits by source tell us how people are getting to the site. So 41.1% are directly entering the website address. So they're putting in peninsulacleanenergy.com, and this pops up. 30% are coming through our Facebook ads. 19.8% are getting to the site via a search engine. That's what an organic search means. And then 9% are getting there by being referred from another website. And one of the top referral sites is the city of San Mateo. Good job, Rick. Mm-hmm. So thank you to all of the cities for having links to the PCE website. So folks who are interested and they go to your city website, they can easily link to PCE.
Jan, before we refresh the website, do we know how many views we were getting?
3,000. Before we did this, what were the number of views?
Okay.
We can get back to you on that. Less. But I don't know what the number was. Good question.
Yeah, I don't have a good instinct for whether 3,500 views is a lot for.
I think it's good. Yeah, I think it's a big improvement. And the top three pages are, not surprisingly, the home page, and then the residential rates page and the early adopter page. We also have a Facebook campaign, and as part of the soft launch of our marketing campaign, we've been doing geo-targeted ads for customers in phase one of enrollment. And I think, David, you've seen some Facebook ads, right?
I think 10 so far, yeah.
10, okay. And it worked for him. He's an early adopter, and he went up to Eco 100. How about that?
I don't know that there's causation, but I did get 10 Facebook ads, and I am an early adopter.
Okay, we'll try to take you out of the geo-targeting now. So we've done different ads targeting a general audience, seniors, and business. And we've also had ads in Chinese and in Spanish. The metrics show that the ads with photos of real people as opposed to graphics have performed better. So we'll continue to do the ads with the photos rather than the graphics. And we've also been boosting select posts on the Facebook page with good results. So is there any more question about our communications update, or do we have any public comment on this area? No?
I don't see any speakers.
Okay. So I'll move on to the Citizens Advisory Committee. We had a Citizens Advisory Committee meeting on Thursday, August 4th, and at that meeting we discussed the marketing for the residential and commercial customers and the net energy metering. And there were some questions about how the net energy metering program works, and we discussed that, and also the performance of the call center. So we went through some of the statistics that we showed you tonight. Okay. That's it for that. Any questions about that? Okay, I guess this is the Jan show tonight. Okay, for the regulatory update, I'm going to do it tonight. We didn't have Sean come down today. So what's going on? There's a lot going on at the PUC. There's the 2015 ERA forecast application. So comments were filed on the 8th of August. And the comments were generally positive. And that's where basically PG&E's projecting what their future revenues are going to be. SDG&E has made a request to establish a marketing affiliate, and I think we've talked about this before, and that has not been voted on yet at the PUC. AB 1110 by Ting has resurfaced, and this is the bill about GHG emissions reporting, and it was dormant for a long time. We thought maybe it was going to just die, but it has gained new life, and so it's what has been proposed alters the GHG emissions methodology. It now defines GHG emissions intensity to be the sum of all annual emissions of GHGs associated with a general generation source divided by the annual production of electricity from that source. It prohibits a retailer supplier from adjusting the calculation. Anyway, it's not what the CCA community would like. So we are working with Marin Clean Energy. They're kind of taking the lead on this, and the other CCAs to send letters to our representatives in the legislature to protest this. And if you're interested, we can send this information out to you, or we can send a sample letter to you if you think your city would also like to send a letter. So. Yes, okay, we'll do that.
I was going to say, Jen, I know this is kind of breaking news. I mean, Lean just put out an advisory today, but if other board members are interested, should we take a few minutes just to kind of go over that a little more slowly about what's really going on here? I can't say I understand it.
About the GHG reporting?
About what they be, you know, what is problematic in this?
Okay. Well, what I have here is the letter that MCE has put together. We've been busy actually interviewing.
Yeah, they say it might. Really is breaking news, so I can understand if you're not really ready to get into the details right now.
I don't really have all the details, but I can. I think this concern is that there might be some double counting the way the legislation has been proposed. And, you know, the Air Resources Board has a method of how they calculate GHG reporting. And I think this bill is suggesting using a different method for retail suppliers. So it's just, you know, there's a lack of consistency across the different state agencies, and you know, basically Marin says it's duplicative, complex, and confusing to implement. Yeah, and it would cause some issues with bucket two type resources, which are firmed and shaped as far as how the GHG emissions from resources that we're importing in from out of state are calculated, and I think that's where some of the double counting comes in. So I can send this, we can send this out to all of you tomorrow morning. It's going to be considered in the assembly shortly, I think maybe on Monday. So if you can act on it quickly, we'd appreciate that. And we'll be doing the same. We'll be putting a letter together similar to what Marin and Sonoma have sent in, and we'll be filing that as well.
Jed, who's the sponsor?
Ting, Assembly Member Ting.
Who represents part of San Mateo County.
Okay.
The northern sector, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then our input should be very important to him, and he should be very concerned about what his constituents have to say.
San Francisco Clean Power presumably is going to weigh in, I would think.
Yes.
Just out of curiosity, I know CCAG has an extensive legislative committee. Does it benefit us at all to try to work with them in responding to these measures or getting advanced information? I know the Clean Energy Group has, you know, a few groups in it, but maybe CCAG, through its legislative analyst in Sacramento, can help us too. I don't know whether that's permissible or.
Sure. I mean, I don't know what kinds of bills they track.
But certainly, the county has a legislative advocacy capability. You know, we have a staff person and a lobbyist, and we've passed a legislative agenda which basically states that the county is going to promote, or oppose legislation as appropriate to make sure that community choice energy can be successful. So we can certainly utilize those resources, and we have. And we'll just have just a reminder that we have those resources.
Right. Okay. And one other regulatory case that's underway is, as you know, PG&E's planning to close Diablo Canyon. And they have they've filed their application at the PUC to close it. And the issue is that certain environmental and labor organizations have agreed on the proposal, which anticipates recovering the lost generation costs of that facility by socializing the replacement energy and efficiency and power costs among all customers, including CCA customers, through non-bypassable charges. And that was filed today at the PUC. Comments are due in 30 days. This is significant to our community. Diablo Canyon, I think, provides about 20% of PG&E's resources. By the time 2024 goes around, community choice energy programs are going to be handling probably way more than 20% of PG&E's load. And so to replace any of Diablo Canyon's output seems unnecessary. And certainly spreading those costs over all customers, again, puts an extra burden on our customers. So we'll be watching that closely. We'll be determining if we're going to file some comments on that. Another thing that we're working on the regulatory side is we're working with the other CCAs to form a trade association called CalCCA, which is a 501c6, and that will be a way for all of the CCAs to work together to pool our resources for the legal costs and all of that to intervene in these proceedings at the PUC and also at the legislature. So that will be very helpful for all of us to speak with one voice and share the costs of that effort. So those are kind of the highlights. If anyone wants more information, we can provide you with lots more. But I think that'll do it for that.
Yeah, and we'll, as Jan mentioned, we'll get an email out about this particularly time-sensitive bill, AB 1110, and we should put the link in for Lean Energy too, because they're doing a good job. They send hopefully most of you are on that already. I've subscribed to their or on their distribution list because they just put out emails today on it. So.
Yeah, in fact, that might be the easiest thing for us to do is just forward the lean energy update, which I think has a link to the letter that can be
right.
sent out. So
I'd urge everyone to subscribe to the lean list.
Yeah.
They do a good job.
Okay, any more questions or on regulatory issues? All right. Now we're at board member reports.
Public comment for this issue?
Oh, excuse me. Thank you. We do have two speakers, so we'll start with Ann Schneider, and Ted Howard also had some comments.
Hi, Ann Schneider, City of Millbrae. I just wanted to throw a few more things onto AB 1110, and I just have to get back here. Come here. It is greenhouse gas counting, but from my peer group, the other concerns they have is that it's going to give the traditional energy generators, they're going to be able to claim that their solar is better than rooftop solar. So it's cutting out the legs of rooftop solar. I'm reading from the talking points that were just sent to me. It's because they're going to be able to hide some of the natural gas counting. They're not going to do a full life cycle analysis of natural gas in some of the counting systems. So it's a look at the natural gas systems. It's going to let them hide some things because they can claim it's trade secrets. So you won't be able to be on a level playing field of looking at rooftop solar versus what solar they might get or what their natural gas is getting. So that's kind of the main thing. It apparently will also not allow solar rooftop to be called greenhouse gas free. Mm. So there's a couple of other little quirks in there. And I haven't read the lean report. It got sent to me just before I got here. So.
And
I work with a group of national energy people, a lot of them who are the original CCA proponents on there. So this came from my network of CCA people, largely from Marin. So I've got the Marin letter, which concentrates mainly on greenhouse gas generation.
Right.
Sadly, because I know there's a Sierra Club, at least one Sierra Club person in here, the Sierra Club is in support of this bill, and even the Sierra Club energy people are trying to get them to change it because they're not looking at it through the perspective of a CCA and what the CCAs are trying to do and trying to make sure that there's long-term renewable supply on here. And I'm a little fuzzy on the language because I'm still grasping it. It got to me while I was at the bike summit. So,
if you could send that information,
I'm happy to do that. Yeah.
And my recollection about the Sierra Club was, this bill has been percolating for some time, and early on the Sierra Club signed on, but it's kind of morphed quite a bit, and so their position may be changing. I don't know.
It could be. As someone who used to be very active with the Sierra Club, they have a structure and they've got a legislative committee
right.
that may not always have the specialists in these more minute areas. So they didn't go to the club CCA people when they approved this. So I would just caution with my former Sierra Club hat on that even though they endorsed it, the rest of our energy people are not happy with it.
All right. Thank you for your comments. And Ted Howard, who has been putting some very good posts on the Peninsula Clean Energy Facebook page, I will add.
I'm glad somebody's reading them. Ted Howard, independent consultant, currently consulting to the Swiss government part-time. So I just wanted to follow up on the AB1110. You've already said a lot, and Ann just said a lot, but just from that letter, I just got the same letter from Lean, and it just helps. They mentioned there that this bill as amended could lead to inaccurate calculations of greenhouse gases. It would prescribe an unworkable methodology not vetted by technical experts and would discourage CCAs from exceeding state RPS standards. So that's just a little bit more. You've already said enough about it, so I won't go into any more on that. And then, as Jan already touched on, the ERA proceeding, and there was just some recent comments that were of interest because MCE is a little bit concerned. PG&E has come back in response on the power charge indifference adjustment, the PCIA, for the departing customers for CCA. PG&E is trying to change that and get the CPC to change it. Of course, I think the initial or main thrust of that decision was that customers are assigned the PCIA vintage based on the initiating service date, and PG&E is trying to get them to change it to count for whenever there's phase ends, you should have a different PCIA vintage for each of those phases, as Jan's nodding there, which would really complicate it. The whole point of the decision, or one of the main points, was simplify, and PG&E's really muddying the waters there. And I think even MCE is saying, okay, there is one exception that could be, because the CPC had allowed for one exception, and that would be only for customers that might impact the IOU's generation of liabilities. And that would be, of course, just large customers, not residential commercial customers, typically. So there's some discussion there now that the PG&E is trying to change that on them. And then finally, SB 886 is being considered. Fran Pavley has proposed it, and it's going to require the plan of a CCA be submitted to the governing board for approval and provided to the CPUC for certification, the plan being an integrated resources plan, and likewise storage procurement targets by 2030. The CCA board would need to approve and get registered or certified by the CPUC whatever storage targets they have for 2030. That going beyond the current ones for 2020, which is about 1% of annual peak load, but that will increase too. So just a quick update.
Thanks, Ted. I think this discussion really points out how critical it is for this trade association to form and get up and running. Because you know the nature of this legislation is very technical and requires a lot of expertise and a lot of input from across the state to figure out what the best positions are. So I'm glad to see that this trade association is coming together. Do we have any other comments from the public tonight? Okay, not seeing any board member comments.
So last night I signed up or opted up. I'm a early enroller. I guess I've already got the letter, but I just wanted everybody to know I did sign up. And I was thinking as I was writing my Facebook post of like, how can we just let more people know? What is the convincing argument? And I was thinking like, well, what can we do that will benefit everybody? And I thought, well, I know my city, I've talked to the city manager about seeing if we can equal 100, and they're kind of like, well, the cost, and it's like, okay, well, so then I thought, after seeing that slide up there, I think there's six that have already opted up, and then there's like another six or so that are thinking about it. So how much money are we talking about if we allowed all the cities to opt up without the additional cost? So part of our whole objective is to get clean energy. If all the cities get that cleaner energy, then everybody benefits immediately. When you're driving down the street at night, the lights are on, that's cleaner energy. All the residents benefit because the city's paying less for cleaner energy. So wouldn't that be a good marketing idea to say, hey, all the cities now are in it, and it's not really, how much is it going to cost? And then I went to the website and I looked at it, and it said how we're going to reinvest into our communities. If we wind up not making that profit, we are reinvesting in our community by showing them what it is and having cleaner energy, and that's what this is all about, right? Having cleaner energy for our community. So maybe staff could look into how much really is that going to hurt our bottom line, but think about how much better it is for the environment, how much better of a marketing tool that is. It's not 6-7, it's all 20 have cleaner energy. Everybody benefits. Yes, sir.
Marty, ISM. So I think it's a really cool and kind of interesting comment to like invest in ourselves to begin with. Would you propose like 1 year, you know, we do that for maybe a year and then get everybody kind of going? Because that was the problem Burlingame had, was our budget's set, everything's done, and even though it's only, you know, 50 or 100,000 more, you know, we got our budget, it's all pretty close. So our city manager and our city departments were just concerned about taking on that big of a change in the bottom line that we don't actually have to do. They're not opposed to anything other than just, but they said, but next year we would look into it, we'd probably adopt, but because we could then be more
maybe
proactive job.
1 year kind of vacation holiday, and then, but it's still reinvesting in our community. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good thing to do. But even anything, I think that if we were able to kind of jump out and say, hey, you know, everybody is benefiting from this immediately. And if we got to everybody was early adopters, then we can consider how that would work.
Yes, I think, I guess technically you can't really have a discussion about it, right, Ms. Silverman? But why don't we, you know, we should go ahead and agendize that for the next meeting.
You can either agendize it or just report back as part of the CEO's report.
Okay.
Costs. Depends on whether you want to discuss it or not. We can talk about it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other comments? Are there any observations from the field in terms of what people are telling you or what you're hearing from your constituents? Or
it's challenging.
In what sense?
Like for seniors.
Yeah.
They don't trust the government.
Yeah.
They think we're just. It's another layer of crap, and I've had some good suggestions, and you know, I'm more or less convincing them, but they're kicking and screaming. And I'm going about to getting people in our neighborhoods to go door to door instead of me, because I represent the government. So I got one young lady. She's hyped, and she's got the most. She's got 66 units. And then
excellent.
And the other one's got 10 or 12 houses to go to, so
excellent.
I'm keeping it spread out, but we're elderly community, it seems like.
Well, we saw that in the pie graph, that was a common reason for people to opt out.
So
we've heard that throughout this process.
Yeah,
skepticism about whether a new entity should be in the energy business.
Yeah, so I'm looking for younger kids. I mean, they're young adults in their 20s. And they seem to be pretty into it. And the people I get, they worked in the rec center. A lot of kids work in our rec centers growing up. So they're known. So it's I'm just going
it'll be great if,
a way to convince them.
Well, maybe, if they're could come down to one of these trainings, so much the better.
I got two of them for the next training.
Awesome.
And I'll be at this one.
Great.
So
thank you.
See what happens.
Yeah, I tell people, you know, I'm the government, I'm here to help. They all seem happy.
You know, we interviewed a bunch of potential marketing directors the last day and a half, and one of the things we asked them to do was to present to us on how they would respond to someone who made that, that brought that up as an issue. And we got some pretty creative answers, but really, you know, the choice is, so you trust PG&E more.
That's
I mean, the thing is, it's between PG&E and us. You have a choice now, and with PG&E, in order to have some impact on what they do, you could write them a letter, you could go to the PUC, but through us, you go to Joe Silva, you go to Pradeep Gupta, and you say, hey, I don't like what's going on. So it's actually much more accessible, and we will be way more transparent than PG&E. So...
And if you don't like Joe, you don't vote for him.
Yeah. So you know, those might be some talking points you could use when you hear that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah. So just on the topic of do we report out, I reported out to the public at our last meeting, and it was a bad night to do it because the people were there because we were discussing, we voted actually to put the rent control measure on the ballot.
Yep.
So I spoke about the progress we made recently on net energy metering, but the comments that were coming out, and people weren't hesitating to just blurt out from the audience that night, was, it's government, I don't like it. And as I'm speaking, they're going like this, you know. So, but then on the positive, with Joe, what you were saying, I've spoken with people, and they do have those concerns. And once I tell them, well, two things. One is, it is not taxpayer supported. It's not supported by taxes.
Yeah.
It's supported by the ratepayers. And we have a policy of costing less than PG&E. No matter what they cost, we're going to be below that. So, you know, and it is, like you said, your trusted elected officials here running this program. So if you don't like us, you don't have to vote for us. You know, we can always work to make things better, but it's an improvement. It is an improvement on what we have already.
Or you can give it a try and go back.
Right.
Wayne?
Well, for the record, I trust you, Joe. So.
You know, Dan, I'm sorry.
Maybe you brought up a good point. I mean, maybe we should focus the grandparents on the grandchildren. So it's for your grandchildren future. I mean, we do anything for our grandchildren. Right?
Dan, you know, you might want to, it's kind of an amended CEO report, just bring people up to date about the hiring process, because that's really been quite intense lately.
Yeah, I did leave that off by mistake. So we've been intensively interviewing this week. On Monday, we interviewed about 13 or 14 candidates for the board clerk / executive assistant to the CEO, and then we brought 5 back for a second interview on Tuesday, and we've got some really good candidates there. We've narrowed it down, and we're working on checking references, and hopefully we'll be able to bring someone on pretty soon. And then yesterday we interviewed about 12 or 13 candidates for the Director of Marketing and Public Affairs, and today we brought back 5 of the top candidates there. And again, 2 floated to the top, and we'll be talking to them further and checking references. So it's been going really well. We closed the recruitment for the Director of Power Resources. I think we got, I can't remember exactly, I think we got about 30 applications for that as well. So we've been getting a great response. We will be interviewing the first round for that position next Wednesday, and then interviewing the finalists on Thursday. So I know we have some really good candidates there for that position as well. So there's a lot of interest. A lot of people would really like to come work for us. You know, it's a cool thing that we're doing. We're a startup. We're doing sustainability. People feel good about working for an organization like this. So it's very exciting that we have such great candidates to choose from. And I'm excited that we're going to be able to staff up pretty quickly and be able to do a whole lot more.
Yeah, I'll just add to that. I participated in the second round interviews today of the marketing managers, and they're just superb candidates. It's actually, people have very, very different backgrounds, but all very capable. So it's a good sign. And as we continue to hire staff, we'll try our best to get a board member on these interview panels. Mm-hmm. Pradeep is going to help with the power manager interview. Any other comments? Okay. Seeing none, then. Anything else, Jen? All right, very good. We'll adjourn. Thank you for coming out in the middle of summer. It's a tough time to have a meeting, and glad you could be here. All right.